Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by and welcome to the 3M Fourth Quarter 2007 Earnings Conference Call. During the presentation, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. Afterwards, you will be invited to participate in the question and answer session. At that time, if you have a question, simply press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad, and questions will be taken in the order they are received. If you would like to withdraw your question, press the pound key. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded Tuesday, January 29th, 2008. We would now like to turn the call over to 3M.
Good morning. I'm Matt Ginter, Head of Investor Relations for 3M, and I'd like to welcome all investors and analysts to our fourth quarter 2007 business review. You will find this morning's presentation on our website at 3M.com. These slides will remain on the site along with an audio replay of today's call for an extended period of time. If you would, please take a moment to read the forward-looking statements on slide two. During today's conference call, we will make certain predictive statements that reflect our current views and estimates about our future performance and financial results. These statements are based on certain assumptions and expectations of future events that are subject to risks and uncertainties. Item number 1A of our most recent forms 10K and 10Q lists some of our most important risk factors that could cause actual results to differ from our predictions. George Buckley, our CEO, and Pat Campbell, our CFO, we'll both make some formal comments today, and then we'll get to your questions. We know how busy you all are during the earnings season, so we'll do everything we can to keep the call to about 1 hour today. You can help us during the Q&A, again, by limiting yourself to one question and one follow-up so that we can address all questions adequately. If you'd like, get back in the queue, and if we have time, we'll take your question beyond two. So now please go to slide number three, and I'd like to turn the program over to Pat.
Thanks, Matt, and good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us today. We manage 3M to drive sustainable long-term shareholder value, and while it's certainly critical that we regularly assess our interim quarterly progress against our objectives, it is equally, if not more important, that we examine our results over the longer term. So today I will begin with a summary of a few critical full-year metrics before I get into the fourth quarter results. By all accounts, 2007 was a very good year for 3M. The numbers I will quote on this slide exclude the impact of divested businesses, primarily pharmaceuticals, and special items in all periods. Sales were up 10.5% for the year, with a record 63% of our sales coming from our international operations, which is a testament to the strength of our unparalleled international capabilities. Earnings per share rose nearly 17%. Driven primarily by a 12% operating profit improvement. Operating margins stayed flat year on year at 22.5%. Capital efficiency is another critical measure for us, and we strive to balance investments to accelerate growth with the necessary operating discipline in order to sustain 20% plus ROIC. In 2007, return on invested capital was 21.4%, about equal to last year, again excluding the impact of divested businesses. Finally, we returned over $4.6 billion to shareholders in 2007 via a combination of dividends and share repurchases. This was an all-time annual record and a hefty 24% increase over the prior year. So all in all, 2007 was a very successful year for 3M. We continued to execute our investment strategy to accelerate future growth while maintaining premium returns and double-digit earnings growth. And at the same time, we rewarded our shareholders handsomely. As with any long-term strategy, there's still much to be done, most notably in accelerating our sustainable top-line growth rate. But our plans remain on track, and I'm very pleased with our progress to date. Please go to slide number four, and let's turn our attention now to the fourth quarter. This was another very good quarter for 3M, with healthy sales and profit increases, despite some tough end markets in the United States. We managed to maintain and post another record sales quarter at $6.2 billion, an increase of 11% adjusted for divested businesses, and helped by favorable currency of 4.7%. The rest of this discussion on the slide excludes the impact of divested businesses. One of 3M's indelible strengths is its breadth of its portfolio, and the fourth quarter was another shining example of this. In dollar terms, all six of our businesses grew sales year on year, led by healthcare at a whopping 22.4%. And we also saw a strong double-digit growth in both industrial and transportation and in safety, security, and protection services. And on a local currency basis, five of these same six businesses posted positive growth. So there's no doubt that our portfolio is stronger today than it was just a short while ago, as more businesses are contributing to growth each and every day. This certainly gives me confidence looking into the future. Looking at the company geographically, we again drove broad-based growth with double-digit dollar sales growth in Europe, Latin America, and Canada, excluding divestitures. Even after excluding positive currency impacts, local currency growth was positive in every major region of the world. Fourth quarter earnings were $1.19 per share. This figure excludes approximately 2 cents of costs related to restructuring actions due to the creation of a new projection systems organization and selective restructurings in our U.S. organizations of display and graphics and industrial and transportation. While certainly not everything went right in the quarter, and we can always perform better, we did manage to increase sales and EPS by 7 and 8% respectively, excluding special items, or 11 and 14% further excluding divestitures, which I'm very pleased with in this tough economic environment. Now let's dig a little deeper into the quarter. Please turn to slide number 5. All information on this slide excludes special items. Fourth quarter gross margins were 46.9%, and operating margins were 20.8%. Both were in line with last year's fourth quarter after adjusting for the impact of divestitures. SG&A expense was up 5.7% year-on-year to $1.3 billion, or up 11.7% adjusted for divestitures. This increase is somewhat higher than is typical for us, but remember that a weak dollar inflates our costs just as it does our sales. So the 11.7% increase, when compared with our 11% sales increase, ex-pharma is more than reasonable. So let's break down SG&A just a little further. Administrative costs, adjusted for the pharma divestiture and currency, were about flat year on year. So we continue to leverage G&A. Selling expenses, which include sales reps, marketing, advertising, and the like, were up 9% excluding divestitures and currency impacts. We invested most heavily in two businesses, one of which was healthcare in areas such as oral care, medical, and through recent acquisitions such as BioTrace, Acolyte, and SoftMed, where we are investing today for growth tomorrow. And in consumer and office, we have stepped up our investment in brands to support the long-term health of this business and to drive sales with our customers. Research and development and related expenditures were up nearly 13% year over year, excluding divestitures, driven by healthcare and industrial and transportation to support our underlying strategy to reinvigorate our core businesses. Operating income was $1.3 billion, an increase of 5.2%, or 11.2% excluding divestitures. Non-operating expense was $33 million, up $11 million year on year. $8 million of this increase was due to an impaired auction rate security that we wrote off during the quarter. The fourth quarter tax rate was 30.7%, up slightly from last year's 30.3% rate. And finally, earnings per share were $1.19, a year-on-year increase of 8.2%. Again, adjusting for divestitures, EPS increased 14.4%. Now let's peel the onion back a little further by looking at the components of our fourth quarter sales improvement. Please turn to slide 6. In U.S. dollar terms, global sales increased 7.3%, or 11% adjusting for divestitures, primarily the pharma business. International sales growth ex divestitures was 13.5%, while the U.S. operations expanded sales by 6.7%. We continue to benefit from favorable currency comps, primarily the stronger euro. Currency impacts added 4.7% to worldwide sales growth. So on an ex-currency basis, total local currency growth was 6.3% globally. In the United States, total growth was 6.7%, led by strong performance in three of our segments, healthcare, industrial transportation, and electrical communications businesses. Sales were down slightly in our other three businesses due to a slowdown in a handful of divisions tied to residential construction, consumer spending, highway construction, and consumer electronic devices that have come to end of life. Acquisitions in industrial and transportation and healthcare accounted for most of the 3.8% acquisition growth in the U.S. Organic volume added 1.9%, and selling price changes added a full percent to growth in the quarter. International total local currency growth in the fourth quarter was 6.1%. Latin America led the way with 16.2% growth, as five of six businesses within that region posted strong double-digit growth rates. Europe grew at 6.4%, led by healthcare at 18.4%. Rounding out international, Asia Pacific and Canada both drove local currency growth rates of approximately 4%. Excluding optical films, the Asia Pacific region had the strongest quarterly local currency growth of the year. Organic volumes increased 5% in international, with double-digit volume growth from emerging markets. Acquisitions added 1.3%, and selling prices were down just slightly in the fourth quarter. Let me turn to our business segment results now. This discussion excludes special items in all periods. Please turn to slide 7 for a summary of our results of our largest segment, the industrial and transportation business. Industrial and transportation had another strong quarter, with sales up 13.7% to $1.9 billion. Local currency sales increased 7.8%, including 4% from acquisitions. Operating income increased 13.5% to $360 million, with margins right in line with last year at 19.1%. Full-year sales increased 9.6% to $7.3 billion, while profits increased 11.3% to $1.5 billion. The industrial and transportation team's strong operational discipline drove an all-time record full-year operating margin of 20.8%, up 40 basis points versus last year. Over the past 4 years, this business has improved operating margins by nearly 500 basis points. The contributions to sales growth in the fourth quarter were similar to previous quarters, as the largest divisions within industrial and transportation continue to lead the way. Most notably, industrial adhesives and tapes, abrasives, automotive aftermarket, and our automotive OEM division. Energy and advanced materials division showed strong performance due to strong market-focused programs in the oil and gas and solar industries. 3M's proprietary glass bubble material is widely used in weight reduction applications, such as construction of deep oil wells, aerospace, and automotive industries. Internationally, full-year sales growth was strong across all regions. Significant manufacturing investment was made in emerging markets such as India, China, and Poland to simplify our supply chains and get closer to local customers. As a result, industrial and transportation business continues to generate over 20% of its growth in emerging economies, resulting in roughly $1.2 billion of business coming from emerging economies. The increased focus and technical investment in our core adhesives, abrasives, and tape platforms continues to drive growth in this segment across the many markets we serve, notably industrial, automotive, aerospace, energy, and filtration, just to name a few. 3M is clearly recognized as the number one brand of choice in adhesives and tapes categories globally. In addition, during the fourth quarter, the industrial and transportation business added four more gap-filling acquisitions, bringing the total to 7 for the year. In combination with our focused investments in R&D, these acquisitions will help to strengthen our core tapes, adhesives, and abrasive platforms for many years to come. Please turn to slide 8, where we will discuss the fourth quarter and 2007 highlights for our healthcare business. Healthcare completed an outstanding 2007 with a very strong fourth quarter. Excluding pharma, quarterly sales rose more than 22% year-on-year. Local currency sales were up 17% versus last year, driven primarily by organic growth, but also boosted 3.5 points by acquisitions. Much of the acquisition growth came from two deals that closed in late 2006. BioTrace International, PLC, a UK-based provider of microbiology products, and SoftMed, a Maryland-based provider of health information software solutions. In total, healthcare added 5 acquisitions in 2007 to strengthen the portfolio and accelerate growth into the future. Also included in this quarter's results was 3.7 points of growth due to supply agreements related to the sale of our branded pharmaceutical business, in which our drug delivery systems division became a supplier to the acquiring companies. Excluding pharma, fourth quarter profits were up 18.7% to $286 million. Healthcare's full year results were equally impressive. Sales rose nearly 23%, and operating income surged 19%, both excluding the impact of pharma. Full year local currency sales growth was 18.3%, largely organic, and including 4.5% from the pharma supply agreements. Acquisitions added 4.4 points of full year growth in healthcare. The healthcare portfolio really hit on all cylinders in 2007, as every division posted double-digit sales growth for both the fourth quarter and the year, led by medical supplies, drug delivery and health and drug delivery, as well as health information systems. Our portfolio of market-leading products in medical includes infection prevention solutions, skin and wound care therapy, including surgical preps and drapes, Tegaderm brand transparent dressings, medical tapes, Lippmann brand stethoscopes, and cardiac monitoring electrodes. In the drug delivery systems, we drove strong growth in HFA-based components for drug inhalers. HFA is an environmentally friendly propellant pioneered by 3M that is superior to traditional ozone-depleting CFCs. We also saw strong growth in health information systems, where 3M is the worldwide expert in healthcare funding and performance management solutions for the hospital market. In oral care, we continue to drive core growth in the areas of dental restoratives and cavity prevention, along with aesthetic products in both dental and orthodontic channels. Looking geographically, healthcare ex pharma achieved double-digit growth rates in all major regions. Please turn to slide 9 for a review of the fourth quarter and full year results for the display and graphics segment. Display and graphics sales were just shy of $1 billion in the fourth quarter, up slightly year over year, and profits were a hefty $252 million, although down a few points year on year. Sales growth was negatively impacted by nearly 1% due to the third quarter divestiture of our Opticon and Canoga Loop businesses, both of which were good businesses, but no longer considered strategic to our portfolio. Fourth quarter local currency declined slightly in display and graphics. On the positive side, commercial graphics division posted another solid quarter to finish the year on a positive note. Throughout 2007, we saw strong performance in the vehicle wrapping market, where we provide films, inks, and other products for this rolling billboard industry. Full year sales grew solid single digits on a local currency basis, and this one of our largest divisions. In traffic safety systems, which is also one of our largest divisions, local currency sales were down slightly in the fourth quarter and grew at a slow single digit clip for the full year. Not surprisingly, we grew faster outside the United States throughout 2007 as our market-leading reflective solutions for highway construction projects are a perfect match in developing economies that are adding infrastructure. In the United States, the road construction market continues to be burdened by significant inflation on road service materials such as asphalt and concrete, which diverts spending from other construction products such as our reflective sign sheeting. Both commercial graphics and traffic safety solutions are absolutely fabulous 3M franchises that often get overlooked. Both command leading market positions, are highly profitable, and they set the pace for innovation, quality, and service in the respective markets. Offsetting this growth was a low single-digit decline in our optical film business. Profit margins for the quarter were 26.4%, or down 1.1 percentage points year-on-year, driven by our optical film business, which we anticipated and described at our December investor meeting in New York. We remain keenly focused on the market segmentation in the optical business, with strong penetration in handhelds, computer displays, and LCD televisions. We continue to face attachment rate pressure in the computer monitor and LCD TV segments, although in the fourth quarter, we did see a mix shift back to 1080p TVs. This is good for our business, as 3M optical films are used more heavily in 1080p sets. We believe over the longer term, the 1080p LCD TVs will gain an increasing share of the overall LCD TV market. We remain optimistic about the longer-term prospects for our optical film business, though we will face continuing price down and attachment rate pressure in 2008 as we adjust our prices to meet our customer needs. Our continued investment in this business has led to a solid stream of new products that our customers are very excited about and will allow us to maintain our market leadership in brightness enhancement. Our films are also a unique environmental solution through rapidly reduced energy consumption, an increasingly important requirement for both retail customers and government agencies. Full year sales in display and graphics grew 3.2%, and profits rose 3.7% to $1.1 billion. Operating margins were 29% for the year, up 20 basis points over 2006. Please now turn to slide 10 for details on the consumer and office business. Based on the business conditions of our U.S. customers, this business turned in a very, very good results. Sales in this segment increased 6.6% to $859 million in the fourth quarter, with local currency sales up 2.6%. While this is below our long-term run rate in this business, it is truly an outstanding result considering the difficult sales environment in the U.S. retail and office markets. Fourth quarter worldwide sales growth was led by our construction and home improvement business, where we are driving penetration in the DIY retail channel with market-leading products such as Scotch-Blue painter's tape, Filtrete home furnace filters, and the Command mounting and fastening products, just to name a few. We also drove good growth in the home cleaning category with our family of scouring and cleaning products. And finally, we saw a nice rebound in the office supply area with low single-digit local currency growth in the quarter. Looking across geographies, our international operations had an outstanding fourth quarter. Sales in dollars grew at double-digit rates in Europe, Asia-Pacific, and Latin America, as we're committed to expanding our international penetration. Operating profit was up slightly in the fourth quarter to $155 million, and margins were a solid 18.1%. For the full year, consumer and office sales grew at a healthy 7.6% clip, and operating profits rose 9.3%. Operating margins increased 30 basis points year-on-year, exceeding 20%. Please turn to slide 11 for a review of our Safety, Security, and Protection Services segment. Sales in this business grew 11.3% in the fourth quarter, led by our respiratory protection, corrosion protection, and building and commercial services businesses. Local currency growth was 5.3%, including 2.4% from acquisitions, primarily Ewood, a UK-based provider of corrosion protection products. For the first time this year, we saw a year-on-year growth, albeit small, in our roofing granules business, which supplies mineral used on asphalt shingles for the residential housing market. While this is a positive result, it is still too early to know if this business is turning the corner as the U.S. housing market continues to remain weak going into 2008. Geographically, we drove a strong double-digit growth in the quarter, led by Europe and, to a lesser extent, Asia-Pacific and Latin America. Fourth quarter operating income rose 10.3% to $133 million, and margins were almost 18%. For the full year, sales increased 15.3%, with local currency sales of 10.8%. Acquisitions contributed 7.4 percentage points to local currency growth, primarily Security Printing Systems Limited and Ewood. Full year sales growth was led by a respiratory protection business, followed by security systems, corrosion protection, and building commercial services. 2007 growth was held back by market softness in the U.S. residential construction market, which negatively impacted our roofing granule business. This softness reduced full-year growth in safety, security, and protection by about 1.5%. Worldwide operating income for 2007 was $640 million, up almost 15% versus 2006, and full-year margins were a robust 21%. Finally, during the year, we added a couple of small but strategic gap-fill acquisitions in Ewood and Rockford Thompson. We also announced a more sizable acquisition on November 15th. Aero Technologies, a global leader in the personal protection industry. Aero will significantly broaden our safety solutions beyond our existing industry-leading respiratory protection products lineup. We continue to expect the Aero acquisition to close towards the end of the first quarter. Please turn to slide number 12. Electro and communication sales grew 7.3% in the fourth quarter. Local currency growth was 2.4%, about half of which was acquisitions. Growth in the quarter continued to be led by our electrical markets business, a leading provider of insulating, protecting, and sensing solutions for the electrical trades and power producers, along with the electronics markets materials business that serves the consumer electronics industry with high-value specialty tapes, adhesives, and fluids. Fourth quarter operating profit increased almost 17% to $120 million. Our flexible circuits business, which supplies components primarily to the inkjet printer market, continues to weigh on overall segment results as the inkjet market becomes commoditized and a number of applications go end of life. Softness in this business held back overall electro and communication sales and profit growth by 3% and 13% respectively in the quarter. For 2007 in total, electro and communications had a truly outstanding year, especially considering that flex circuits hurt total segment sales and profit growth by 2.5% and 9.3% respectively. Total sales growth was 5.5% with a 2.3% local currency growth, including a 1.5 boost from acquisitions. Growth was led by communications and electrical markets divisions as they both excelled in delivering double-digit percent increases in sales and profits in 2007. Geographically, growth was consistent across all regions, led by Europe and the U.S. The electric team has done a remarkable job over the years, driving productivity and taking aggressive actions to improve its competitiveness, and in 2007 was no exception. Full-year profits increased 14.2%, and margins were almost 19%. Please turn to slide 13, where I will review a few balance sheet and cash flow metrics. Free cash flow in the fourth quarter was just shy of $1.3 billion versus $900 million in last year's fourth quarter, adjusting for pharma gains and taxes. And while you don't see it on the chart, full-year free cash flow was $3.5 billion, up 30% versus last year's $2.7 billion. The timing of income tax payments can swing our free cash flow in any given period, as was the case in both 2006 and 2007. Working capital turns improved sequentially by 0.3 turns and were about in line with last year's fourth quarter. Capital expenditures in the fourth quarter totaled $391 million, not too dissimilar from both year-on-year and sequentially. For 2007, we invested a little over $1.4 billion in capital expenditures, which was near the low end of our expected range of $1.4 to $1.5 billion. Dividend payments to our shareholders were $341 million, and we continued to buy back stock during the quarter with gross share repurchase of $483 million. For the total year, we returned $4.6 million of cash to our shareholders via a combination of dividends and share repurchases, which is the most of any year in our history. Weighted average diluted shares outstanding were down 3.1% year-on-year and down slightly on a sequential basis. And finally, our debt-to-cap ratio was 30% at the end of the year. This concludes my formal business review. Now I'd like to hand it over to George for a recap of 2007 and our outlook for 2008.
Thank you very much, Pat. Well done. And a sincere welcome to all of our listeners this morning. I'll make a few brief comments about the quarter and then the year, our 2008 outlook, and then we'll be happy to address your questions. Needless to say, this was a very good quarter for 3M, with operating earnings a couple of pennies above consolidated expectations, excluding a couple of pennies also as special items that we had in the quarter. Pat has already outlined the growth numbers, but just for emphasis, we achieved over 7% sales growth and 11% in the quarter, after correcting for pharma, which I think is pretty good in this kind of environment. Obviously, we're pleased with the good Q4 performance, but the real issue here is not what we did in the fourth quarter, but our outlook for 2008. And importantly, how that outlook may or may not impact our longer-term strategic plan. I can imagine a question that you're asking yourself right now is, how immune or otherwise is a company like 3M to slowing economic trends? So before going into 2008 guidance, I want to outline to you how 3M sales might be affected by our presence in various kinds of markets. We've been asked by investors if we lead, follow, or are concurrent with market trends. Essentially, the root question there is, are the current earnings trends an indicator of what is to come, what is here now, or what is already past? Before beginning to answer that question, I want to stress again that 63% of 3M's sales were outside the United States in 2007, and then this will increase to about 65% in 2008. When you look at it this way, 3M is in fact a broad-based international company that seems to be masquerading as a U.S. company. I'd also like to get an accurate set of numbers by geographic region out on the table. In 2007, sales in Latin America were 7% of the total for 3M. In APAC, they were 27%. In Europe, Middle East, and Africa, they were also 27%. In Canada, 6%, and in the US, they were 33%. In 2008, the US will be about 31% of total sales. It's also important to note that about $7 billion of our global sales, or nearly 30% of the total, are generated in emerging economies such as Central and East Europe, developing Asia, and Latin America. These sales have been growing at almost 20% annually over the past 5 years. Allow me to stress, please, that there is no company that I know of, even ones much larger than us, that can match 3M's capability with respect to international distribution. I'd like to spend a few minutes discussing our four principal channels of distribution and their relationship to economic trends. These are, first, the mass retail market channel, second, industrial distribution, third, our OEM channel, and fourth, healthcare. In our consumer and office business, our method of distribution is mostly through mass channel retailers. To get the size of this business in perspective, in 2008, 58% of the total sales of this segment were US-based, equal to only 8% of total 3M sales. This consumer channel is the one which is the closest day-to-day to the day-to-day economic cycles in the US. And living in that space can feel like you're taking the pulse of the economy on a real-time basis, every day, and that is how sales vary. We make post-it notes today, ship them to a retailer tomorrow, and they are sold to a consumer on Monday. Industrial distribution is a channel which, because it's a bit farther back up the supply chain, lags the economy a little, perhaps by a month or so. This channel amounts to 30% of 3M sales. We supply hundreds of large and thousands of small distributors around the world via this channel. The third channel on my list, the OEM channel, is one where the parts that we make are spec'd into another product that they're making. Through this channel, we service such industries as telecom, with products such as infrastructure build-out, upgrade and refurbishment, electronics, through TVs, handheld devices, phones or test and measurement equipment, and the automotive industry, among others. We also service the oil and gas, mining and aerospace industries through this channel, as well as through general distribution. Of course, these sales, while locked in by specification, follow the cycles of the markets they serve or the success of the products they eventually become part of. Lastly, we have some large, strong, cycle-resistant businesses. For example, our sizable healthcare business here in the US, which is $4 billion in total and $1.8 billion in the United States, which is 20% of US sales. It's largely immune to economic cycles, as is the automotive aftermarket. The same can be said about a larger part of our safety and security business, which is another $3 billion, which will reach $4 billion annualized run rate by the end of 2008. In addition, we're driving some good growth platforms such as oil and gas, alternative energy, minerals extraction, and aerospace. These elements help offset the impact of channels or businesses which may erode a little in economic downturns. On balance, the sales mix we have means we are somewhere between concurrent with the market or a few weeks of lag. Those parts of our business which are close to the consumer would tend to go into decline first and faster than some of our peers who have long cycle product streams, but they also come out a lot faster. Sales can also be temporarily distorted by inventory corrections, both on the way down as well as on the way up, and often at sometimes in between. So all in all, cyclic downturns, when they occur, tend to be much less persistent and pervasive for 3M than other companies with long cycle portfolios, and much more attenuated because of the huge regional and business market diversity that we have. There are many challenges that companies like 3M face, but two of the biggest are to resist the temptation, specifically the temptation to add costs when times are good, and to cut R&D and other growth investments when times are more challenging. We were courageous this past 2 years in taking on a large list of restructuring, reinvestment, rebuilding, and reinvention activities as a means of assuring a strong future for 3M. In 2007, we invested heavily in the future. We exceeded our external growth commitments even as we were investing to reinvent sizable parts of 3M for the long term. We made enormous strides in getting our manufacturing footprint right by opening new plants in Korea, three in China, one each in Russia, India, Canada, Mexico, and Turkey, plus several plant extensions in the US. In Canada, we also closed inefficient plants in the US, in Italy, Japan, Canada, and New Zealand, and downsized others in the US and the UK. We have closed over 50 inefficient plants around the world in the last 5 years. In 2007, you'll note that we also increased R&D spending, ex-divestitures, by 11.4%, yet carried that increase in our earnings numbers. We invested $20 million on plant startups, and we also invested tens of millions of dollars on a number of emerging business opportunities, again, all to accelerate growth momentum. All of these investments were washed into operating earnings. One of the real benefits of this extra R&D is that we are now able to recycle somewhere around 20% and increasing of waste material on BEF production that was formerly disposed of in landfills. We're also now able to recycle somewhat smaller percentage amounts on DBEF. The early signs, too, are that our optical system penetration strategy is beginning to get traction and with encouraging signs on volume wins. We opened up new markets in Kazakhstan and North Africa, investing and spending in the here and now to get the later benefit of growth and penetration in these very attractive markets. On the capital front, we spent hundreds of millions of dollars adding capacity close to our customers and getting our supply chain straightened out. While much was achieved, much remains to be done in this area. We continued on course with strategic M&A activities, with 16 acquisitions that built new competencies in products and markets where we needed it. As much as anything here, acquisitions brought us speed in reducing time to market. All of these actions are helping us build an incredibly powerful company for the future, even as we deliver in the short term. In 2008, we expect that we will generally continue this investment pattern, and that assumption is baked into our forecasted earnings. That said, we'll always use prudence and circumstance to guide the size and timing of our actions. In 2008, we will make appropriate real-time adjustments on investments with constant attention to economic circumstances. Our approach to investing in the future is a practical approach and not blindly ideological. In 2007, we drove $1.5 billion of growth, or $2.3 billion of growth ex-divestitures. To put this in perspective, this is almost as big as our electro and communications business is today. All business segments contributed to this growth, and the growth came in many different ways. There was simple penetration with existing products such as Filtrate, brand home filters, in the consumer office segment, which, by the way, I'll point out, is rapidly becoming the next enduring 3M franchise. And there were many new product launches, R&D revitalization, localization, such as our acquisitions of dental and medical companies in Brazil, Chile, and Thailand, or entirely new product or service segments, such as passport production in the UK. An awful lot was done here in this company last year. We made great progress on the cost of the aluminum composite conductor program we've spoken about before, which has the potential to significantly change the way in which electricity is distributed. And anybody who went to the recent CES show in Las Vegas perhaps saw our new microprojector that will fit in the palm of your hand. Several companies expressed keen interest in this product, and we're going all out to commercialize and capitalize on this as soon as possible. Innovation is again alive and well at 3M. One of 3M's great strengths is that there is no one single source of growth. We're very diverse, market-wise and geography-wise, and therefore growth patterns are likely to be repeatable and extendable. In my view, this makes us the right kind of investment bet in times like these, and also for the long term. I would be remiss if I didn't continue to stress the long-term health of 3M. Within 10 years of your life, will change significantly, and 3M will be driving a lot of that change. Your personal life will be impacted most by technology and innovations. Hospitals will be safer because of 3M's infection detection platforms. You'll use less energy, in part driven by 3M products. Solar will become a bigger piece of your life, in part due to 3M. Your security fears will ease, again, because of 3M. Your life will be impacted everywhere by digital information, display, and electronics. We will have a piece of that change also. In many places, precious water will become more drinkable and usable, and fluids more pure because of 3M. The future looks very bright for our company. Let me speak now briefly about 2008 guidance. From our perspective, nothing has materially changed since our December 12th meeting in New York. Some things have worsened a little, for example, the US economy in general, but other factors have stabilized or improved, such as the performance of our core businesses, like abrasives and industrial tapes. International continues to grow very strong. Despite what we read and hear in the press, not everything in the garden is gloomy. A few more tailwinds have appeared. For example, we expect commodity prices to ease during the year, particularly some metals, wood, pulp, and paper that will help gross margin pressure. It will specifically help consumer and office, industrial minerals, and our electro and communication businesses. Foreign exchange will still also be a very positive factor in our case. Going forward, we expect M&A pricing to moderate, bringing new opportunities for growth to 3M that we might otherwise have passed up on. We have proven ability to execute on cost reductions due to our great Lean Six Sigma capability and have low-risk business activities in security, medical, and fluid treatment. Our positive outlook on oil and gas, mining, and aerospace is unchanged. So together with international, we think these elements offset the increased risks in the U.S. consumer, U.S. automotive, and U.S. housing. But even on housing, we believe that we'll see the bottom of the U.S. housing market and comparisons will get easier from that time on. So it is a time when we intend to get ever stronger, to take market share from our competitors, and a lot of that is available to us. I can tell you that we intend to make our competition feel the heat a lot more than we do this coming year. So where does all this take us? We stress-tested our earnings numbers against various economic circumstances, and we believe that we can deliver 10% EPS growth, even in these confused, occasionally trying circumstances. But we need to keep a proper sense of perspective. The rebuilding of capability we've done on many fronts in the last 2 years will serve us well in this venture. As far as the first quarter is concerned, because of the fabulous first quarter we had in 2007, the year-over-year financial comparisons will be a little challenging. And the period in and around the Easter holiday, which impacts business activity in both Europe and Latin America, falls in the first quarter this year, but it was in the second quarter in 2007. There is also a slightly longer Chinese New Year holiday this year that will reduce sales in Asia a little. These factors will result in some shifting of sales from the first quarter to the second quarter. Nothing fundamentally flawed here, just timing. Year-on-year comparisons get a little easier in the quarters farther out, particularly in the second half. So we are pleased to affirm again that we will deliver 10% EPS growth in 2008. Investors should not presume we have or are implying here that we have exact precision on the EPS number growth either, but that the 10% is what we say it is, a minimum. From my perspective, this forecast shows the resilience and strength of 3M. We will continue to manage investments and overall costs prudently in the next year. And with that said, we welcome any questions that you might have on our conference call. Thank you very much, everybody.
At this time, I would like to remind everyone, in order to ask a question, please press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. If you would like to withdraw your question, press the pound key. If you are on a speakerphone, please pick up your handset before entering your request. Also, ladies and gentlemen, if you have already pressed star one to ask a question, please press star one again to ensure you enter the question queue. Please limit your participation to one question and one follow-up. We'll pause for just a moment to compile the Q&A roster. Our first question will come from the line of Steve Shuka with J.P. Morgan.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning, Steve.
Just a question on healthcare. I might have missed it, but the margins there, they bounce around a little bit. What happened in the margin there this quarter? Anything specific going on?
No, I wouldn't say there's anything specific at all. We ran, I think, 27 in the quarter. We ran 27.5 for the year. So really nothing unusual there, Steve, at all.
Okay, so there's nothing in the. I know there is some moving parts like the supply agreement and things like that that might be skewing the incremental margin this year. Is there anything next year that we should be thinking about with regards to the incremental profitability at healthcare?
No, I think it'd be very very much like this year, Steve.
Okay, great. Thanks a lot.
Your next question will come from the line of John Inch with Merrill Lynch. Please proceed.
Yeah, thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, I want to ask about growth and sort of a couple parts to the question. It looks like Asia-Pacific organic was 3.2, but that obviously assumes the drag from optical and DNG. And then I guess 3.8 for the year. I mean, how does that dovetail, George, with what I think is somewhere around the 5 to 8% organic growth target for 2008? Does that still seem to be, based on everything that's going on, does that still seem to be the good number to shoot for?
Well, we thanks, John. We are still shooting for this longer-term twice IPI growth. IPI may be a little bit slower this year, so we don't feel perturbed at that number. It seems to be consistent with the overall goal that we're looking at long-term. I don't think there's any real cause of concern there, John.
I mean, was anything going on in Asia, ex-optical film? It just seemed to have decelerated.
The optical was the principal factor, John. We saw, as you can imagine, we saw some sort of easing, or we saw some accelerating different markets. A little bit of softer Japan was a factor in Asia. We saw some softer business in Korea. But other than that, it was fine. And again, I stress, John, mostly driven by optical.
Okay.
Hey, John, Pat here. I just want to, in my comments, Asia, if you strip out optical, actually had their best growth of the year. So it was heavily impacted by optical in the fourth quarter.
Almost all dominated by that, John.
Okay. And then just as a follow-up, I think the 2 cents of special items included $4 or $5 million of restructuring charges. That didn't round to a penny, but my question is, George and Pat, are you planning, presuming there's more restructuring to come at 3M, are you planning to run these charges, through the numbers? Are you planning to call them out every quarter? Because I think it just has a perspective on how people are going to view the quality of your earnings. So just what's the philosophy and what's baked into the forecast?
Well, John, I guess you have to kind of put them in context. First of all, materiality, and are they, just kind of routine in nature that we would generally run through our businesses is normally what we do. We specifically had two this time, one in around display and graphics and industrial both that accumulated to $20 million. Okay, so we thought that was sizable to call that out separately.
last, Pat, minority interest, it's sort of been running as a $16 million drag, and then it all of a sudden dropped. Did I miss something? Was there something going on with did you sell a component of that business, or what happened again?
No, most of that minority interest shows up in our 75% ownership of Sumitomo 3M. And in the fourth quarter, we actually had a true-up of some of our intercompany pricing agreements between the parent and Sumitomo.
So minus 16 is still the run rate, kind of per quarter?
Probably would be, maybe a little bit less on a going-forward basis, but not too far off.
Okay, thank you.
Your next question will come from the line of Mark Gulley with Asole Securities.
Good morning.
Morning.
George, when you take a look at the portfolio, it certainly looks like healthcare is kind of reassuming its leadership role, and D&G is looks like it's receding a bit. Can you drill down a little bit more for us and talk about can healthcare maintain its current excellent pace, and what do you need to do to make that happen?
Well, in the healthcare, it's a great question, Mark. In the healthcare, that business just had just a fabulous set of results all through the year, and they've done just incredibly well. And we brought a lot more focus to that business. You saw it through the acquisitions. You saw it through some of the plant builds that we've been doing, and we're seeing it in internal investments, trying to get new product streams back in the fold, and a few long plays on some of these sort of mega trends like infection detection that we're playing some cards there. So I think, generally speaking, healthcare is going to have a lot of good news associated with it, and so it will be one of the primary focuses. It may end up being the primary focus, Mark, of investments in the near term for us. So I don't think there's any reason to conclude that healthcare can't enjoy a lot of growth again. On display and graphics, as we've said many times, is going through a transition. Of the three businesses in that in that area, traffic safety, commercial graphics, and optical, the traffic safety and commercial graphics businesses, Mark, are doing extraordinarily well. We will live this year in this transition year as we're building up volume in these a little bit further down in the market. So we will see that business probably slide sideways during the year as we're making that transition, but with a clear desire longer term to reinvigorate growth in that business. If I can just sort of canter on the rest of our businesses, E&C seems to be, certainly toward the back end of the year, undergoing a resurgence, more strong demand on electronics. There are some areas of that business which struggle. A consistent performance in the electrical markets, sort of utility-based business there, so and also pretty good performance in communications markets. So there's no reason to believe, Mark, that we won't see good results from that business as well. In the industrial and transportation business, of course, we could be impacted by an industrial slowdown in the United States. But what seems to have happened is many of those big businesses like industrial tapes, abrasives, automotive, personal care, are doing extraordinarily well and making really good jobs of penetrating the marketplace. So they seem really, really solid. And so, again, at this moment in time, we don't expect much to change with them. And so we're very encouraged. Consumer and office, the good news in that business is it's growing much, much stronger now internationally. Yes, it will be impacted by the U.S. economy. But even drilling down in their numbers, the consumer and home improvement business still did very, very well in the fourth quarter there. So we're going to see some impact there in consumer and office, I think, from the U.S., Mark. But beyond that, I don't think that it's going to be a big issue. And we expect still to have strong international growth. So all in all, The rework is mostly in display and graphics, and the vast majority of the rest of our business is running pretty well.
As a follow-up, if I had a chance to talk to the R&D people in Austin, Texas, is there any replacement for Microflex coming down the pike, or is that something that you're going to have to fight through?
Well, one product that George hit on is the composite conductor, okay? Now, it's not a direct replacement, but if you talk about Austin as a business unit, the composite conductor is down in Austin, Mark, so it won't be in the same, necessarily the same field. But that would be, you know, one of the high growth projects that we continue to work on down there.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mark.
Your next question will come from the line of David Bluestein with UBS.
In your closing remarks, you mentioned material prices and some expectations of positive experience. Can you walk through which commodity prices you're referring to and give us some sensitivity, for instance, a penny a pound or some metrics to help guide us?
David, it's a general feel from our procurement people that we've seen some betterment in commodity prices more generally. We've seen easing of copper, some easing of aluminum. Copper is a big component for us. We found better uses, better ways to be more efficient, shall we say, with the uses of gold. We've seen some of the chemical components easing in price. We're seeing some easing, early signs of easing in wood pulp, although it's counterbalanced to some degree by increased costs in steel. So, but all in all, when we mix it up in our blend of components, David, we see more tailwinds now in commodity purchasing than we do headwinds.
Hey, George, what I'm looking for is how many pounds of copper do you use? How many ounces of gold? Just some measures so that if we see $100 move, we can figure out what that means for you.
I think we'll have to give you that offline, David, because I know the prices of those materials, but I don't know how many we use. Off the top of my head. So we'll get you those offline, David.
Thanks.
Our next question will come from the line of John McNulty with a Credit Suisse.
Yeah, good morning.
Good morning.
Just a quick question with regard to the growth revitalization, the ramp up, all the new plants that you've brought up over the past couple of years. Have we passed, in your mind, kind of the tipping point there where the incremental number of new facilities that necessarily need to be ramped up or built up, you know, are going to be smaller going forward, and maybe some of the ramp up costs tied to that will start to wane off a little bit as well?
Yeah, I think it's close now, John. I think we're at the cusp of that. And probably just going down the other side of that. So I think we'll see some betterment from here going on.
How many roughly do you expect to ramp up in 2008, just so we have a rough idea on that, too?
There's what, about seven?
Yes, six or seven. Six or seven, John.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Thanks a lot.
Your next question will come from the line of Deane Dray with Goldman Sachs.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning, Deane.
I was hoping we get some additional color on the price and volume dynamics in optical film, and was also interested in hearing, in the quarter, you commented that the mix, you saw more of a mix shift back to the 1080p. Do you think that is more of a fourth quarter event, or is that something more sustainable?
Well, we think that is a more sustainable long-term trend. The question is, you know, what's going to happen on a quarter-by-quarter basis? Dean, obviously, we'll have to see how that plays out. But we do think that's kind of a longer-term trend. Really, nothing's changed significantly from, you know, the presentation that Mike Kelly gave in New York in December relative to the pricing, you know, pricing action. That plan is still, you know, still in place. And the scope of the change that we laid out for D&G and for the optical business at that meeting is still, you know, our best estimate.
What's happening, Dean, is we are seeing some very positive moves in the industry. I do think we've sort of alarmed a few of our competitors with our willingness to go and fight in some of these other areas, because obviously they know that we have the manufacturing capability, the capacity, and the technological innovation capability to be able to win these contracts. In the end, some of this is still about price, but Mike is very encouraged. I was speaking to him yesterday about it. Mike is very encouraged with the contract progress he's been making, with the contracts he's winning. He's expecting to see still a lot to be done yet, Dean, but he's expecting to see some significant pickup in BEF volume. We have the DBEF volume stabilized, and we have made some quite significant, I mentioned in my call, Dean, significant steps forward in using recycled products. You know, the yield coming out of these manufacturing processes is not as high as some people might imagine. So the ability to recycle material and get it back and still make optically clear products is a very important step forward for us in controlling gross margin. So early signs are cost reductions in the plants are going very, very well. Some of them are ahead of plan. So at least the early news, Dean, and it is early news, we have to be careful that we don't sort of get people too optimistic, but the early news is very encouraging.
Can you provide any specifics regarding what actually went on in the quarter regarding pricing and volume?
Well, there were a number of contracts that were let, Dean, with, and obviously I'm not going to go through those contracts. I don't even know the detail of all those contracts, and it would be commercially insensitive to talk about different kinds of contracts that people had with different kinds of pricing structures. But nevertheless, there were incentives on price in these contracts to secure volume and secure longer term volume. And if we didn't get the volume, then the prices weren't offered. So it was typical sort of earned volume discount type structures that you'd see in cases like these that we offered. And we won contracts with most of the large players in the industry. Not all, but most of the large players. And some are still ongoing in negotiation.
But Dean, Pat here, I think it's fair to say that you'll start to see more of that play out as we get into 2008. You didn't see much of that really at the tail end of 2007, so it'll be more in the 2008 results.
Some of these products, Dean, don't launch until February or even March, so Pat's absolutely right.
Great, thank you.
Your next question will come from the line of David McGlider with Deutsche Bank.
Thank you, good morning.
Morning, Dave.
George, back in December, I believe you said that you expected D&G EBIT to fall just $80 million in 08. And in response to an earlier question, I believe you said you expect D&G to move sideways in 08. Are you raising your forecast for D&G EBIT? And is that all due to optical films?
No, I'm not, Dave. The move sideways was a non-scientific observation, a non-financially accurate. There's nothing that we know in that business, David, that would tell you anything different than what we forecast back in December. When I say sideways, it's a sort of general observation. We don't see margins improving significantly or sales growth improving significantly. So it was just a sort of general observation, Dave. But thank you for asking the question.
My pleasure. One more item on optical. What's your expectation for optical profits to decline in 2008 versus 2007?
Well, Dave, Pat here. We haven't given optical numbers. We've kind of scoped the D&G business in the December meeting. We kind of gave you a kind of a margin range for D&G as a total business, and that is still our best expectation for 2008.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, David.
Your next question will come from the line of Jeff Sprague from Citigroup.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Could we just go back? Actually, I think it was the first question on the healthcare margins. Pat, I would assume that the supply agreements did impact the margins from a comparison basis, 06 versus 07. But now that we move 07 to 08, wouldn't we expect to see some more incremental leverage on that strong revenue growth that you're getting in the business? Or is there some R&D or other thing going on in that business that holds back the margins?
Well, no, I guess, Dave, let's just think about that just for a second, make sure we're on the same page. You know, we roll those supply agreements in, so they're, part of the base business in 07. Effectively, they'll carry forward into 08. So there's, on a year-on-year basis, there's really not a significant change relative to the supply agreements. The only thing that obviously will impact is to the degree that the volume changes there. So that isn't significantly changed. So if you look at the margins of healthcare in total, We think that if they can continue to grow the top line the way we expect, they probably should get a little bit of a a margin expansion. But the 27% margins they had for this year are really really stellar. Okay, and we would continue to hold those, and if everything goes well, we might be able to expand them a little bit. But it's also critical. That is one of our our key investment areas. Okay, for the future as well. Especially with the economy looking the way it is, we want to make sure that healthcare gets, the combination of resources they need to keep the growth going, as well as keep the sales rate up in 2008.
Yeah, I meant that the supply agreements weren't in 06, so we had an 06 versus 07 comp, and now 07.
That's true, but I'd also have to share with you that the supply agreements are less than what the healthcare average margins are, okay? So they would be kind of dilutive to that, that number. But now that they're in the base going forward, the base rate that healthcare has is a good stepping off point.
Yeah, that is my point, though. It diluted the 06 versus 07. We can follow up, right? So it's now in the base, so it should be less dilutive on an incremental basis, I guess.
That's correct.
And is there any way to think, Pat, about the fall through to earnings on currency? A conversion rate on margin or some other metric to just kind of get our arms around what that might mean in 08?
Well, it's we try to scope this at the meeting, Jeff. On the upside, if you look at the current upside, if rates hold where they're at, kind of at the end of the year, it could be 15, 20 cents positive for us in 2008.
Okay. And can I just sneak one in for George?
Sure, go ahead, Jeff.
George, just kind of thinking about the spend on the new versus kind of the end of the life, and I guess it kind of goes a little bit to that tipping point question on the plants. I mean, you're always going to have end of life given your tens of thousands of products, but do you see a point where, rarely you feel compelled to call it out because you've now got kind of, enough momentum on the front end that it really is not of consequence? Is there some kind of visible pipeline momentum that would get us to that point?
Yeah, I think one more year, the flex stuff, Jeff, has about another year to go, and then there are some price adjustments where we lap, and we probably then won't see it in year-over-year worsenment. We wouldn't see it in year-over-year worsenment between 08 and 09. So I think this is the last year, Jeff, where we likely to have to call those things out.
Great. Thank you very much.
Your next question will come from the line of Scott Davis with Morgan Stanley.
Good morning, everyone.
Morning.
One thing that's changed, I guess, since December, is your stock price has gone down a bit. I mean, how does a sub kind of $80 stock change your view at the margin on kind of buybacks or buybacks versus M&A? I know before you weren't planning on substantial buybacks in 08, but has that changed at all?
Scott, you're kind of referring back to some of George's comments. It's an interesting world because, of course, the M&A market we think will be a more attractive market for the quality products that are out there. So obviously, we want to keep a close eye on those. If you go back to the October meeting, we had talked about a share repurchase program that would probably extend another 2 years, and that's probably still our best view. Today, obviously, we'll move around a little bit on a quarter by quarter basis. We bought back about $500 million. We spent about $500 million here in the fourth quarter. And I would say that's probably will be, about the run rate we have here in the first quarter.
Okay. And going back to the comments on CapEx, I mean, maybe, George, you can share with us your vision, your longer-term vision. I mean, certainly 3M was maybe under-investing for a period of time, and now, adjusting that. I mean, when you think about kind of spending in the range now of almost 120% of DNA. I mean, does this trail off in 09? Are the majority of the projects over with, and we can start to think about more, you know, 100, 105% of DNA, more historical 3M levels?
Yeah, in fact, the early numbers, Scott, show that CapEx will probably come down a little bit this year, not by a lot, maybe by $100 million. And we suspect that that will probably ease as the next few years go on, dropping, you know, from the peak that we had of 1.4, 1.5 billion, probably $100 million a year for the next couple of years, bring it back down to levels that are more consistent with historical spend that 3M has had. So we're already beginning to see some easement of that now.
Okay, and last, just to clean up for you, Pat, I mean, I don't think in December you were able to give us much guidance on pension. I think you said it would be somewhat neutralish. Has that changed at all since then for 08?
Yes, it has, and it's another tailwind for us. Right now, we're probably looking at about $100 million reduction in expense when we look at 08 versus 07 for our pension expense.
Okay, super. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Paul Scott.
Your next question will come from the line of Shannon O'Callaghan with Lehman Brothers.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning, Shannon.
So, you know, looking across the different businesses now, you know, we talked a little bit about, you know, healthcare and display, but as you're thinking about trying to drive the organic growth up 4%, you know, into the 5 to 8% range, you know, where do you really see it coming from? I mean, healthcare has already been growing pretty strong. You know, what gets better from here as you look out?
Well, I think Shannon, obviously the increasing preponderance of sales that occurred overseas tend to lift our growth rates. The increasing investments that we're making in security tend to lift our growth rates. Healthcare, Pat already pointed out, tend to lift our growth rates. We're actually beginning to see better growth rates in the industrial heartland of 3M also. We have to be fair that these are slow-moving indications. They take some years to roll forward. And we actually are in the position, hopefully, in both display and graphics and in some of the flex circuits, that in optical's case, it'll begin to turn around. In flex, we'll lap it, and it'll no longer be a factor. So generally speaking, the investments in higher growth spaces, in water, in security, in track and trace, are all adding to our overall growth rate. So gradually, I think you're going to see, Shannon, this movement tick up gradually over the next couple of years.
And I mean, are you seeing the new capacity that you're putting on? Is it contributing the way you expected it to in terms of you know, filling up those plants? Is the demand, you know, there as you envisioned? Is it going along as you expected?
It is in most cases. Obviously, in one case, like in our occupational health business, a piece of our demand is pure random. It's tenders, it's X factors that are very, very difficult to know how to forecast in advance. And that's an area I think that is a little more uncertain, but generally speaking, the capacity is being used. Certainly medical, it's being used. Certainly in blue tape that we put on, capacity put on, is being used. Certainly in the filtrate areas, that's actually probably, we're even still a little bit short of capacity there. So that's becoming a real rocket ship in terms of growth. So for the most part, I think the observation is that it's working out pretty well.
Okay, great. Thanks a lot.
Thanks a lot.
That concludes the question and answer portion of our conference. At this time, we will turn the call back over to 3M for some closing comments.
Well, thank you very much, everybody, for listening. We appreciate your questions and comments, and look forward to talking to some of you a little bit later in the day. So thanks, everybody. Take care. Bye-bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude our conference for today. You may all disconnect, and thank you for participating.